Okay, it's going.
Minayim l'tchiyas ha'meisa min ha'teira.
Yeah.
Because the Mishnah says that someone that doesn't believe that tchiyas ha'meisa is min ha'teira doesn't get olam haba. So we explain why it's important to believe, number one, to believe in tchiyas ha'meisa. That's one, you say. And why it's important to... It's up to you. And also to believe that not only is Tchiyas HaMeisim going to happen, but Tchiyas HaMeisim is going to tire. Because belief is not just an admirable virtue. Belief is what connects you to the thing that's going to bring you back to life. The belief in Tchiyas HaMeisim is what connects you to something which is beyond. That's a general vote about emunah. If you see things with your eyes, so then you can only understand it. You can only understand according to your own limits. You read a Gemara, you read even music or poetry. You know, whatever you're going to get out of it is all contained, all limited by what your own limitations are. Your own limitation to appreciate it. So with Amunah, so let's say someone could tell you something, someone much bigger could tell you something, and he could tell you something at his level, and you'd never be able to arrive at that conclusion. Yeah, E equals MC squared. Equals, the energy equals the mass plus the velocity to the second power. So you want to know what the yield of energy is. Now the mathematical calculations that led to that is beyond most amateur mathematicians. And we don't know what it is. But we believe it's so. We believe it's so because it was promulgated by someone that we know was a physicist. Yeah, and so we trust him and we believe it. So once we have that formula, so then we could send a rocket ship to the moon. We don't need to know how the formula was proven. We have a Muna in Einstein. We have a Muna in Einstein. Good surprise. We have a Muna in Einstein because we know that he knows what he's talking about and he must have proven it. So now we could send a rocket to the moon and we know what the energy requirements are going to be. So we could do something which is way beyond ourselves. Because of Amunah. Now that's a very grubber example. In Torah, this is on a totally different level. You believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim, that means that if you believe in it, you believe in it because God said it. If you believe because God said it, that means you're relying on God. When you rely on God, so then he said, I can't betray a trust, and he does it for us. So you believe in something, even though you don't understand it, even though it's above us, we can't comprehend Tchiyas HaMeisim, it's dead. How does it come back? It disintegrated, it became dust. How did it come back? But we believe that, that God knows what he's talking about, and he probably could, he could do it. So then he says, well, if they really believe in me, I have to do it. And then he does it. No. Never heard of a commander in an army, a general, he has the confidence of his platoon, and he goes in first, and he just goes in a feat of bravado, he throws the grenade, the smoke bombs, he shoots everybody up, and everybody follows him, and they go, how did I do that? I didn't know I could do that, because they relied on him. He can't show any lack of courage and any cowardice. And he can't let them down, he can't let his man down. So he goes and he does it. And then he succeeds. He never would have done it if he was alone. And if he didn't have, he didn't have the confidence of his man. When somebody relies on you, then then you have to do it. You got to do it. It's incumbent on you to do it.
Okay. Was there a concept of Tchiyas HaMeisim before the Torah was given?
Before Torah was given?
Or before Adam, let's say. Could it have occurred in the world because no one believed in it? You're saying it only...
They're right. The mechanics were not there until Adam was there. Because I'll say Adam, I'll give you an example. He was born. Adam was born, he was created, and let me ask you a question, because this is for the floor here. When Adam first opened his eye on the sixth day of creation, Erev Shabbos, after Chatzos, the fifth hour, what did he see? Use your imagination. What did he see?
Gan Eden.
What do you think he saw? What did he describe it? What do you think he saw?
Grass, trees, birds, animals.
Yeah, so Chaim said he saw absolutely nothing. It was barren. Because I'll say that all the vegetation was waiting right by the entrances, the little entranceways, little hole, waiting for him to get up and daven and pray, and then it came.
Really? Okay. Everything was grown underground?
I was waiting. I was on the verge of coming out.
Animals.
It also popped out, but that could have been on a different day. Everything came from the ground, but all the anything that needs rain. Other memories in prayer. How do you know that it's going to get answered? How do you know what to pray for? You wake up, you know, you're born, it's your first day, you wake up, yeah, what's up, let's go chilling, you know?
Pray for whatever
you don't
need.
See anything. No, but he had a munah, you know, he knew that he's going to pray, it's going to come. So he had a munah, something he couldn't see. And until then, there's no point in having it grow, because without a munah, there's no point to having a world. Kadosh Baruch Hu withholds children from tzaddikim because he wants them to daven and have their munah that he's going to come. Chazal said that Tzari Meina didn't have a womb. And Avram Davin for I don't know how many years, I don't know when he started, if he started when he got married, so he was Davin for 10 decades that he should have a child from Tzari Meina, she didn't have a womb. And it was that Amunah that Hashem created a womb for her, because Hashem could do that also. So that's so once we're talking about, you know, and you have to have a, it's not enough just to have a Amunah in Tchiyas HaMeisim. The source of Tchiyas HaMeisim has to be in the Torah. The source, it can't be just a belief in Tchiyas HaMeisim, that you believe in some magic trick, some incantation that's going to bring back the death. The source of Tchiyas HaMeisim has to be in the Torah. Because the Torah that the person learns, the Gemara says, is it the Torah that the person learns? Or the Torah that his son-in-law learns? Or is it the Torah of the people who he supports? That Torah is the Torah which is the catalyst for bringing about Tchiyas HaMeisim. So it's got to be in the Torah, because it's not in the Torah. So you can believe in Tchiyas HaMeisim, but something's got to make it work. There's no button. Okay, so that's what the Gemara is saying. What's the button? Where is it saying in the Torah that there's going to be Tchiyas HaMeisim? And we're going to learn this Torah, and then we're going to have the Torah of Tchiyas HaMeisim inside of us, and that's how we're going to come back to life. Minayim Tchiyas HaMeisim in the Torah. Ksaviyat? It means that there's a Bekir said that this is not the statement of Rabbi Yochanan, it's just a Stam statement in the Gemara. Minayim Tchiyas HaMeisim? It's the name of it, what? Something like that. Yeah, it's Ksaviyat. Minayim Tchiyas HaMeisim in the Torah? Shnama! So what follows is going to be a bunch of five lines from the top. This is the mitzvah of truma. Everyone knows you give truma to a kayin. So it says you're going to give truma to Aaron a kayin. Is Aaron he's going to exist forever? Aaron never went into Eretz Yisrael, so nice like truma. So Aaron became a Kayan in the desert. Aaron became a Kayan in the desert. Aaron died before they came into Eretz Yisrael. What did they eat in the desert? Do you give truma on man?
Don't think.
Why not?
Doesn't grow from the ground.
Right, so how could you give truma? Did you ever have you this pasuk? Did you ever have the kasha? How could you give truma to Aaron? He died before there was truma.
His children? The children of the father are like the father himself.
No.
Yeah.
El Malam, Mishasa Lachiyah, Sion's going to come back to life. Be Yisrael nice and late Shulman, and they're going to give him Shulman. It's a riot of Tchiyas HaMeisim in the Torah. So when we learn that Torah, so we have Torah of Tchiyas HaMeisim inside of us, and that brings us back to life, if we believe in it. So you need belief, and the belief has to be that it exists in the Torah. Devei Bishmal Tana. So he has a Yosef or Mechavin to the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel. The Yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel. La'aron ka'aron. That the pasuk saying you should give it to Aaron, it doesn't mean to give it to Aaron. It means like Aaron. Ma'aron chaver. Just like Aaron's a Talmud Chacham. Chaver means a Talmud Chacham. Usually chaver is a term they use for someone that keeps the laws of Tum and Tara. He's a chaver, he's a Talmud Chacham, up and chaverim. So Rabbi Shmuel learns a different shot. Alright, I'm going to try again. And the truth is, and I got it to Gemara, there's a Mach likes him. That's his, we learned that from Rav Dessler. Says that, and both Pshat are true. On the surface, that's Pashup Pshat is it's referring to his children. That's a Pashup Pshat. Because Tiyas HaMesim is not mentioned anywhere in the Torah openly. You have to ask yourself a question. Why doesn't the Torah say, the Pasuk, V'nemanata Lachias Mesim? Make that a Pasuk in the Torah. It's not.
There would be no question of belief in it.
Right. It's not. It's nowhere in the Torah. You do find in Tanakh, Eliyahu brought someone back to life. Elisha brought someone back to life. You find the body of Elisha brought someone back to life.
Find that in Gemara.
But you never find in the Chamisha Chamshei Torah the words Hashem brings someone back to life. So that means by default, you have to have another explanation for this. Because if you have no other explanation, if Rabbi Shmuel's Pshat doesn't exist, so then it does say it explicitly in the Torah. So they're both Pshatim. One is the Pshat and one's the cover-up. Right? Okay. How do you know that you should not give tshuma to Kohen HaMaaretz? He said to the nation, the ones who live in Yerushalayim, give a portion to the Kohanim and the Levim, so to fortify them in Teres Hashem. That's the pasuk. So you see, you give portions to Kehanim Levi'im to fortify them in Teres Hashem. Zakta Gemara. Kala Maksa B'Teres Hashem. Someone that he fortifies himself in Teres Hashem, Yesh Lai Manash. You give him a portion. Jaina Maksa B'Teres Hashem. If he doesn't fortify himself in Teres Hashem, Eina Manash. Because what's the point of supporting him if he's not going to learn anything? You have someone, Kehanim, they don't own land. They don't have cities. They work all day. They don't get paid. There's no salary. Then the hours that they're free, they're staggering away. So them, you give them truma, you help them out. You have an amoritz. What do you have to give them truma for? Let them get a job. Presumably, we're saying this Gemara because it's loosely related. Since we're talking about truma, there always has to be a connection. We'll just see the next piece. Let's say somebody does give tshuma to Kohen HaMaaretz and he eats it. That's like giving it to a wild animal, like a lion. That's not good. Mari, why are you saying he's like a lion? Why is not, you know what an Amaretz is? Someone that hates Tamid HaChachamim. Mari, Sapek Dairis with Sapek Eichel. You don't know what the lion, he killed himself a sheep. So he could eat it right away. Or he could drag it to his hole. So Suffolk Darish Reichel, you don't know whether he's going to rip it apart. Darish means to rip it apart and eat it right away. And Suffolk Inyan Darish Reichel, and you don't know if he's not going to rip it up and eat it right away. He could kill it, bring it to his thing, leave it there for 3 weeks till it gets good and rotten, and eat it. So the Gemara's pointing out a tebra of a lion is that they eat spoiled meat. And you never know what their fancy is. They'll kill even if they're not going to eat right away. And they'll wait till it's good and rancid and they'll eat it. That's why I was using an example of a lion, because other animals don't do this. They don't eat rotten meat. A lion will eat rotten meat. You're going to give them aretz truma. So he might eat it when he's tamei. He might eat it when the truma's tamei. So it's a zilzal. It's a zilzal for truma. Because he's an amaretz. He doesn't know the halachas. So this is the second reason why not to give it to amaretz. One reason is because you're not supporting Torah. And the second reason is because you're going to violate the kedusha of the truma. You're going to cause the amaretz to die. You're going to give him truma. He's going to eat it. He's going to die. says you're not doing her a favor. Shanama and Meisubai, they're gonna die. Kikalu, because it just they don't know what you're talking about. Abelazim and Yaakov, Tana Af Masiyah of an Ashma. You're gonna cause him. Masiyah means to cause him to do an avera that's called Ashma. Ashma is a very serious. Ashma is like a multitude of averas, a lot of averas. You're gonna cause him by giving him truma. You're gonna cause him to do a lot of averas. So you're not doing him a favor. Shanama. For you see why some, you're going to bring upon him a vine ashma, a lot of avarias. Vachlam is kachim, they're going to eat the holy things.
How many avaros do you get for eating?
I don't know, a lot. I
don't know for like bugs or whatever you get.
Don't know. That's just hard. A little bit weiter. Just a little bit weiter.
Didn't we learn that?
Tanya, b'shimaya, m'minayim, t'kiya, s'meisim, t'ayra. Shanema, the Gama Kiraisi is busy, and also I fulfilled my covenant etam with them. Who's them? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are talking about. Hashem says I'm going to fulfill my covenant with Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. What's the covenant? What's the covenant? Los Islam is Eretz Canaan. I'm going to give them Eretz Canaan. I'm going to give them Eretz Canaan. Who? Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. Who?
They're dead.
Lahem, it says Lahem, Lahem. It doesn't say I'm going to give it to you, the children. El Lahem, I'm going to give it to them. Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. You can't just give us amazement of turn. Let's discuss this a little bit now, basically. Okay, enough? There's two things I wanted to talk about today. Just one thing at a time. First of all, there's our aura, which the Moshe said in his share. I don't remember who he said it from, but there's Akasha. Ahara means an awakening with an ayin. Ahara with an olive means an enlightenment. So you start out with the ha'ara with the ayin, and that brings you to the ha'ara with the olive, because you wake up first and then you enlighten yourself. There's a Gemara that says, and the Rambam passes it just to...
Where is it?
The Rambam believes in the Hilchos Malachim. The Gemara, I don't know where it is. Mitzvahs Betelus Lassad Lavai. You ever hear this? Mitzvahs Betelus Lassad Lavai. Color all the Mayadim, all the Yom Tovim are going to be bought Lassad Lavai.
What is this? What is
it? That means there's not going to be any Yom Tovs in the future. There's not going to be any Mitzvahs in the future. And it's Pashit. It's Pashit because...
No Mitzvahs?
No Mitzvahs. There's a couple exceptions.
Doesn't it say that the Goyim are going to hold our tzitzit strings?
That's in the times of Mashiach. You see, you have to break it up into two. There's Yemos HaMashiach and there's Yemos HaOlam HaBa. Yemos HaMashiach is before Tchiyas HaMeisim and Yemos HaOlam HaBa is after Tchiyas HaMeisim. The Goyim are going to hold our tzitzit before Tchiyas HaMeisim. Mitzvah Betelos Lassad Lavai. And it's Pashit why the Mitzvah Betelos Lassad Lavai. Because there's no point. The purpose of the Mitzvah is that we should use our physical bodies, our physical selves, and bring them closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the understanding of tzitzis. We wear knots. Why do we wear knots? We wear knots because it's an act of tying ourselves with a knot to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because our bodies are not naturally tied to Kadosh Baruch Hu. We put tefillin on, they're knots. We tie a knot around the arm, we tie a knot around the head. We're into knots. We once talked about hadassim once. Like, hadassim is like, it has to be, it looks like braids. It's a knot. Hadassim is a knot. Tefillin is a knot. Tzitzis is a knot. Marriage is a knot. We get married because we want to go through a process of making a knot. There's a lot of knots. That's one of the minhagim. When someone goes down to the chuppah, they're supposed to untie all the knots. The tie shouldn't be knotted, the shoelaces shouldn't be knotted, the belt should be undone, because this is the knot. Now you're knotting yourself, the Shekhinah, it's the three of you. You, your wife, the Shekhinah, that's the only knot, no other knots. You don't tie the gartler, you know.
Do people actually do that?
Yes.
Like, I had his shoes and everything.
What? I remember seeing someone on, like, a white carpet. Everything was white, white, white. And I see black shoes. Wearing white kids on the black shoes. And I thought he was crazy. And his shoelaces untied all over.
Is that like a mid-hug?
Yes. But now I'm trying to... You see, because we're going to the ultimate knot. But once you get there, you understand... Let's say you're swimming. Or you're going through a... You know, you have a Boy Scout troop. Or you're mountain climbing. That's the best thing. You're mountain climbing. You ever heard of belaying ropes? You know, the head climb, he's got a rope, and then you got a rope, and he's got a rope. He better not fall. He falls, you'll go down. Why do you have the ropes? What are ropes here for? You're a ski person. You're a wilderness man. You're a wild man. Why do you have the ropes?
You got to make sure it holds you.
I mean, you got to make if one guy slips...
Yeah.
Then the other guys will hold them up.
Repelling
a mountain climbing. Or if you're going in a jungle, you can't get lost. Or if you do get lost, then you're all lost.
Right.
So you need knots when you're away from each other so that you shouldn't lose sight of one another. But, if you're harnessed to each other, you know, you're there... You're one. You're like Adam and Chava before the creation, when she was attached to him, according to the one Gemara, she wasn't made out of his rib. She was mamish, a lady, and she was stuck onto his back. So they were married, and they were mamish one. So when Adam reached went mountain climbing, he didn't have to hand her a rope. And when they went in the jungle, he didn't have to tie them their wrists together, because they're one. And that's why they were created that way. We start out, Adam and Chava start out as one, and then Hashem sliced them apart, and by Tchias HaMeisim, husbands and wives are going to be back to the way they were before they were split apart. And Hashem and Adam and Hashem was one. Adam and Hashem was one. There was Adam, Chava, and Hashem. Adam ate from the fig, so he broke away. So Hashem gives him mitzvahs, because he doesn't want to go too far. And after Tchias HaMeisim, you don't need the knots anymore. No more mitzvahs. No, it's because you're there. Is that
so
clear?
You're one with your wife.
And that's Kehan Hashem. You know the famous word. Ish and Isha. The word Ish is Aleph and Shin. The word Isha is Aleph and Shin. Mm-hmm. But he has a Yud and she has a Hey. That's the name of God.
First day of Isha.
That means if their relationship is that they have the name of God between them, that's what sticks. You know, it's her godliness that appeals to him, and it's his Yerushalayim that appeals to her, and that's the glue, so then they'll be fine. But if there's no godliness in the marriage, you take the Yud out of his name, the Hey out of her name, and you're left with two fires. It's a good part to keep in your pocket if you have to speak by your Shabbat brothers.
Would everybody know it, though?
It's okay.
I'm sure the day before it was said.
If you have two aces,
it's okay for a TJ guy.
If you have two aces,
then it's a fire. There's a fire. There's a fire. It's not good. They burn out. This is so. There's no mitzvahs lost in Lavai. So there's no mitzvahs lost in Lavai. Rabbi Sai, if there's no mitzvahs lost in Lavai, survive to the kasha comes back. How do you give tshuva to Aaron? Hello. How do you give tshuva to Aaron? You hear the kasha?
After the Tchias HaMeisim.
Because when he was alive in the midbar, there was nothing growing from the ground. And when he comes back to life, does he have the Tchias HaMeisim? There's no mitzvahs.
He was Tchias HaMeisim before Mashiach's times.
The Teretz is, Eli. There's two Tchias HaMeisim. The Teretz is the two Tchias HaMeisim. And this Gemara is a Raya that is two Tchias HaMeisim. Two Tchias HaMeisim. Huh?
I'll show you that.
What? Well, if you give Truma to Aaron, and after Tchias HaMeisim, there's no mitzvahs, so how do you give him Truma? What? Teretz is a pre-Tchias HaMeisim, Tchias HaMeisim.
When are these supposed to occur?
Exactly when, I don't know.
Well, no, but I mean...
Let me explain something to you. Tchias HaMeisim, for most people, is not a tremendous blessing. I mean, you come back to life, but they can't do mitzvahs. Because whatever you got. You're fixed.
Why can't they do mitzvahs?
There's no mitzvahs after Tchias HaMeisim.
After the first one, there is.
I didn't say there was a first one yet. Let's get to the second
one. You just said
the ultimate one. That was just a pre-say. Now let's say what I... First I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you. Then I'm going to tell you. And then I'll tell you what I told you. All right? So I'm telling you what I'm going to tell you. So I haven't told you yet. Some guy gets up. He says, what's there to do with all? Now you get rewarded for every good deed that you did in your entire life. I want to watch Nagavasa. No Nagavasa. No Nagavasa. Where's my tzitzis? What happened to my tzitzis? No tzitzis.
We might have to still, but there wouldn't be any rewards.
There's no mitzvahs. Okay. I really don't know. I'll tell you the truth.
I
heard you. It's just going
to
be there, but it's not a mitzvah.
It's not the
most meritorious thing, because we know that mitzvahs you can only earn. Don't interrupt me.
Sorry.
What? No, you're not. Okay, what do you want?
You said that after the first Tchias Mason you get rewarded for all your...
I didn't say anything about the first Tchias Mason.
After Tchias
Mason. The ultimate. The only one so far. The ultimate Tchias Mason. But you can't earn any new things. Whatever you got, you got. Guy gets up. He's got his body. He's got his neshama. He's okay, let's go. I haven't put on tefillin in years. Oh boy, it's going to be great. No tefillin. No tzitzis. No mitzvah. There is an element of sadness here. Because there's only mitzvahs in Elam Hazeh. And Tchias HaMeisim is the gateway to Elam Haba. Could you imagine? And after Tchias HaMeisim, the guy has no Yetzirah. So could you imagine the schus it is to be brought back to life in this world? That you have the best of both worlds, because you have no Yetzirah, you're not going to do anything wrong, you're not going to waste any time, you're going to be Mr. Perfect, and you're going to get scarred for doing it. You have to, you know, not everyone is like it is such a thing. There's Yechidi Elam. That because when they were in this world, their first life, yeah? Listen to the Vart. There's a great colossal magnitude of people that went through this world either being better or worse, you know, without black and white. There's a lot of shades of gray. Shades of gray, I'm a good person, I'm not, I do some mitzvahs, I do some averus. Okay, averus is unavoidable. You're going to have to do averus. I try to do more than that. And maybe that person will make it to Elam Haba in some form. Could have done better. Maybe I'll make that. We hope I'll make that Elam Haba in such a way. But they lived a very Elam Hazadik life. A very Elam Hazadik life. And then you have someone like Aaron. I mean, first of all, Aaron was not in Elam Hazah. He was in the base of Mikdash, in Mishkan. Aaron was not in Elam Hazah.
He slept there.
That was the main part of his day. You know, that's where you are. That's Aaron was in the Mishkan. So to say he lived in Elam Hazah, his whole environment was above nature. There were miracles. 10 miracles happened every day. And that was, his home was the Mishkan. So to say he really lived in this world is preposterous. So his whole life was, yeah, he did have a body, he walked, he spoke with people, but his body was in Elam Haba. He was in the Mishkan, and he did mitzvahs, and he got schar. And so what was his life? A body, a physical body. It's not the same as our physical bodies. You want a raya? Because Pinchas, his grandson, went with Kalev to spy out the land 40 years later, and they got caught, and Kalev had to hide, and Pinchas didn't have to hide. And his host, Rachav, said, why don't you have to hide? He said, I'm a Kayin. I don't have to hide, you know? If I want people to see me, they see me. If not, not.
What?
Pinchas was able to hide himself.
Pinchas himself or his grandson?
Yes.
Where
did you say
this
was the son?
It's like
a built-in Yeshua
somewhere, right?
Well, I saw it in the Yakut Shemani in Yeshua. Probably Gemara also.
I never
like
heard
the
of it.
Like the Halo.
That means that a person, Abi, a person that even though he's born from a mother, but his place is in the Beis HaMikdash, that's his life. So his body is physical, but the rules of physicality don't apply to that body. He's like between two worlds. It's a fact. So people like that, yes? So they could have Tchias HaMeisim in Elam Hazah. And they could, just like when he was in Elam Hazah the first time, he was really on the level of a Malach. But he was earning Schar, mitzvahs, and Torah, So when he comes back,
why is that the best of both worlds?
Because you get to be perfect and you get to earn the reward for being perfect.
And you said no Yitzhara.
So by the
reward comes from Yitzhara.
That's a major thing, so you get Schar.
You get Schar as though you had a Yitzhara and you did it anyway?
Yes, I'll tell you why. Yosef is asking, if he didn't have Yitzhara, if Aaron's going to come back to life earlier than everyone, and he doesn't have Yitzhara, how's he going to get Schar? And I'm telling you, you ask me a question, I'm going to ask you a question. You ever slept in a sukkah?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, you went to sleep in a sukkah.
What?
How long did it take for you to walk into the sukkah and go to sleep? The whole process.
I left the door of the house into a sukkah.
And then you went in, you went to sleep?
Yeah.
5 minutes? At what point did you stop moving, you know?
I read a book.
Okay. But then you're in there. You're already in there. Okay. 5-10 minutes?
Yeah.
Now, how long
when
you
I got into the sukkah.
Now, how long were you sleeping in the sukkah?
7 hours.
Now, do you deserve Schar for 10 minutes or for 7 hours?
What's the mitzvah?
I'm asking you.
I think the mitzvah is sleeping in the sukkah.
Are you doing anything?
Or being in the
Are you doing anything?
Or sleeping.
Is that doing?
No.
A gorilla could sleep. A monkey could sleep.
But the mitzvah is to, so I guess the mitzvah is to do that.
You do get Schar for 7 hours. You know why? It may not do it because you put yourself into that situation where you're sleeping.
Hey, Rabbi,
put yourself into the matzah. Yeah, but that's doing something. Eating, sleeping, walking around.
Okay, sleeping.
So you get scarred for going to sleep. But once you're sleeping, you're not doing anything.
But it's as if you're living there. That's your house. That's
you're not doing anything. It's not a deed. It's not a deed.
You're not having any kavanah to climb anything.
You do it. If somebody could pick you up and take you out, and you wouldn't know the difference.
Okay, and then you wouldn't be having a mitzvah.
You're not going to... Why do you get the scar? The one that put you... Hashem put you to sleep. Hashem should get the scar.
He's giving you the scar.
Yeah, I know, but you didn't do it. You're immobile. You fell asleep. You didn't make yourself fall asleep.
You went to sleep in the sukkah.
That's the reason why. Because even though you're not doing anything when you're sleeping, but you're the one that initiated the process, you're sleeping because of something you did. So those 10 minutes gives you schar for. Let me ask you next question. Okay, next question. Let's see. You love cheeseburgers, but you know you can't have it. You walk by a McDonald's and you see the cheeseburgers there. I want it so much. And it's not. I'm not gonna do it. I'm not even thinking. I'm not even going there. I'm not even gonna go. Yeah, is that a mitzvah?
Yeah.
Now which is a bigger mitzvah? Being asleep in the sukkah or not getting to McDonald's?
Being asleep in the sukkah. Not getting McDonald's. Just you fought.
Yeah, because you're fighting. Being in the sukkah, you're there anyway. So you do get scarred because you're only there because you walked in there.
But you're not fighting when you come back from Chiyas HaMeisim without the Yitzhara.
I'm just giving you examples. Someone that comes back to life, by the time it's Chiyas HaMeisim, before the, you know, the priest gets
Hey, Aaron's going to come in earlier?
Yes.
Okay. And he's going to...
They don't have a Yitzhara. But what's the reason why he's there? Why did
why
he come back?
Why does he still get reward?
Because he's not fighting. But he's
not because he's not fighting. Because
no,
the reason why he doesn't have a Yitzhara and he's going to do everything right, so he doesn't deserve reward because he's not fighting. But who created that situation that he's in a situation where he doesn't have a Yitzhara and he's not fighting? He's the one that created. Because in his lifetime, when he did have a Yitzhara, he fought it so much that it didn't bother him anymore. That's why he deserves to come back in the time. Yeah. So even though when he does mitzvahs then it's without a fight, he gets reward for it anyway. You know why? Because he's the one that created the schus.
Oh,
Chapit, is the reward the same? No, it's not the
but
same.
When he comes back, he's going to have mitzvahs until then.
Yes, and we're going to have mitzvahs and we're going to give him to him some mitzvahs.
Basically, Hashem takes away his
Yitzhara. How
about that? Right?
Yes, at the after Chiyas HaMeisim is an amazing.
I'm saying, so also you see that pre-Chiyas HaMeisim, well, at least with the Tzir Tov, like God takes away a power's free will when
right.
he wants
yeah,
to.
Yeah, we're going to lose free will. Eventually we do lose free will.
Well,
free will is only, it's only a tool. It's not an ultimate
thing. Yeah, so God takes away eventually power's free will.
And
he
gave it to us for a reason, and when the purpose is over, So he loses. Pyro is a punishment.
I'm saying, yeah, I'm saying.
So they ask a question, how could Pyro get punished for what he did wrong?
Yeah.
Teretz, because he
was Hashem. No, I'm saying, it's the same.
He was such a Russia that Hashem says, you deserve to lose your free will, so you get blamed for everything you did.
Yeah, it's just...
You know, if a guy jumps off a building, yeah, and he says, oh, it's not fair, I don't have the free will to fly back up. God's not fair. He jumped off. You did have free will. You threw your free will away by jumping off. So Pyro had free will. He threw it away. So now he's going to die. So it's his fault. It's not fair, God. I don't have a choice. I can't fly back up. You didn't give me the ability to fly. Where's my broom, you know? Is that clear? I just want to add another thing, because we do have another few minutes left. And we are having such a geschmack of time. Is that you see, the Gemara talks about Tzchias Hameis, and then it talks about giving Truma to Dama Arutz, which is not the topic. It's not really the topic. So the Chayot of Art is... that it is related to Tzchias Hameis, because the Kayin... You see from the fact that we're learning out Tzchias Hameis from Aaron, it's not an accident. Why don't we have Tzchias Hameis from someone else that's going to come back to life? Why not? I mean, there's others, but, you know, why Aaron? Why Aaron particularly? Because Aaron, like we said, he is the paradigm of Tzchias Hameis. Because he's someone that even in his lifetime, he lived a life of Tzchias Hameis. Aaron's a Kayin. Kehanim don't die. What's the right? You don't have a right that Kehanim don't have to do with death. You give me the right.
What?
Kehanim have nothing to do with death. You can give me a right.
I'm not allowed into a
cemetery. You know, it's a Kohen Gadol can't even go to his father's funeral. Kohen Gadol. You know why? Because they can't have anything to do with death. The Tzchias Hameis is not like a wonderful thing that God does for us. Yeah, I'm going to give you a treat. You're a good boy in your life. I'm going to give you a candy. You're going to come back to life. Tzchias Hameis is a correction of an aberration. Man was never meant to die. Adam reached into the chet. Okay, so you got to die temporarily. But after we take care of the chet, then things are going to be the way they should have been. Tzchias Hameis is the way, ideally, man should be. Everyone should be like a kohen. No one should have to do it. No one should become tamei at the father's funeral because the father's not supposed to die. Then they say nobody is supposed to become tamei meis. We're all supposed to be like Adam because there shouldn't be any funerals. So that's why we're talking about the laws of Tumah and Tara. And you give Tumah to a Kayin that keeps the laws of Tara. Because a Kayin that keeps the laws of Tara, he's the one that represents Tzchias Hameis. And you give him food that's Kaddish. Because food that's Kaddish is the union of taking the physical things there and elevated. Not all food is created equal. There's some food that even Amaritz could. Amaritz, he's dead. The Gemara says, Amaritz, don't come to Tzchias Hameis. They don't get up. Unless they have a son-in-law that's a Tamei Chacham, right? But normal Amaritz doesn't get up. So you give him Tamei food. Tamei food is regular Adam has a fool. Truma, that's Kaddish food. That's food to someone that doesn't die, that's alive. So this mamish, you know, the Gemara is not going off on a tangent. It's mamish, you know. It's the sugya of Tzchias Hameis. Because you have a good Shabbos, so hopefully we'll see you on Shabbos. It'll be a geschmack, you know.
It's a coincidence,
yes,
girl.
How do I stop it?
It's a coincidence.
What's a coincidence?
I'm just kidding.
I wanted to ride home.
Let's push the middle.
I heard Rebbe is far
from... I wanted to put a subliminal message on it, like...
I knew it! I knew it!
Do I join Rebbe?